Well, today's message is titled, Love Your Brother. And one of my sisters was up for Thanksgiving. I was really hoping that she would be here today so that she could, you know, learn how to really love her brother. But unfortunately, she had to leave yesterday, so she missed out on this message because it's really important that you learn how to love your brother. I'm just kidding. Actually, when I say brother, I don't mean earthly or physical brother. What I mean is spiritual brother. So when I say love your brother, what I mean is this: love all of your brothers and sisters in Christ, what we call the body of Christ or the family of God, those all who belong to Jesus. That is what I'm referring to. Open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 9, verse 41. We're just going to cover one verse today. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to focus on loving one another. Today, we'll look at how we can show love to each other. And next week, we'll look at the things that we can refrain from to show that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's look at that. Mark 9, verse 41, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose his reward. It's important that we back up a little bit and just get the context of this passage, refresh our memories where we've been in the Gospel of Mark. A few weeks ago, we saw that Jesus had to teach his disciples about humility. If you remember, the disciples were arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. There was this competitive spirit that existed among them, and they argued about who was better than who. And so Jesus took a little child, and he held that child in his arms. And he said this, whoever receives a child like this in my name receives me. And so what Jesus drove home that day is that it's important that you serve the least of these, that you serve one another with a humble spirit. You see, it's one thing to serve a great figure, maybe a popular preacher who comes into town and we say, yeah, I'll sign up. I'll be on the service board for that one. I'll serve that guy. But how about the widow? How about the orphan? How about those who seem insignificant in the eyes of the world? Are you quick to serve them as well? So Jesus there drove home the aspect of humility. And then last time we were in Mark, we saw Jesus drove home the importance of unity. Remember how there was a man who was casting out demons and he was not one of the 12? And the disciples said, hey, we put a stop to that guy because he's not one of us. And Jesus said, oh, no, no, hold the phone here. If he's doing things in my name for my glory, you let him be. Let him go. He is one of us. He's on our side. He's on our team. And so what Jesus drove home there was unity. So it's in this context of humility and unity that Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to me will certainly not lose his reward. You could say what Jesus is driving home here is a genuine love, a servanthood love that is spoken of. What can we learn from the words of Christ? Well, first off, we can learn this. That is that everything done in the name of Christ has value and has meaning. Even those things that we may think are very small and insignificant, they have eternal value in the eyes of God. Sometimes we get this picture that there are some really special things that you can do for God, and then these other things that you do for God, they're just classified as meaningless. And Jesus says, oh, no, no. Everything that's done in the name of Christ for the glory of Christ matters. I see it, and I will reward that someday. It's important to keep that in mind. And when we have that in mind, it'll keep us from this attitude. The attitude that says this, the bigger, quote, work I do for God, the bigger I am. Jesus condemns this attitude in Luke chapter 10. We could get that on the screen there, Joe. Luke 10, verses 17 through 20. Jesus had just sent out 72 more disciples, just like he had sent out the 12. And they come back, full of joy at what happened. And listen what happened. It says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. It's beautiful. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What was Jesus saying to the 72? You've heard that expression, get off your high horse, right? This is what Jesus is telling the 72. He says, hey, don't forget Satan, who once had a great position of authority and power, and he was cast down because of his pride. Therefore, just because you can cast out demons in my name, a great work, don't get puffed up in that action, in that work, or you too will be humbled. You too may just be cast down. Jesus says, oh no, you come down. Realize this, the power to cast out demons comes from me. I give you that power. So I ought to get the glory for those things that take place. And Jesus said, you want to rejoice in something? Beautiful. He says, hey, rejoice in this. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. What was he getting at? He was saying, don't rejoice in the works that you do, but rejoice in the work of God, namely his grace. Rejoice in his grace. Rejoice in his unmerited favor toward you, who was once lost in sin, and he found you and rescued you. Rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life, that your name is in heaven, all because of grace, my grace alone, nothing more. Your works had nothing to do with you entering the kingdom of God. Therefore, rejoice in my grace. That's what you need to rejoice in. And so Jesus says, no, come down a notch there, boys. And while works have nothing to do with our entrance into heaven, our works do matter. Our works have value before God, in the eyes of God. They have eternal value. Jesus says, even if you give a simple cup of water to someone in my name, I see that. And one day, I'm going to reward that for you. Well, let me ask you a question. In what ways do you serve your brothers and your sisters in Christ? In what ways do you serve them? Please don't think that you need to be behind a pulpit or you need to be a leader of some small group to do something valuable for God. Oh, no, not at all. Everything you do in the name of Christ matters to God. That means on the way out of church today, and you may see some elderly woman who's over 90, I won't name any names, but she's struggling to get the door open. It's too heavy for her. And you come along and you say, hey, lady in red, let me just help you. Let me just help you with that door. And you do it because she belongs to Christ and you love her. God says, I see that and I'm going to reward that someday if you do that with that kind of heart. As we think about loving one another, there's some things that we can get out of this verse here in Mark 9. I just want to touch on three things today. Number one is this, is notice the reason or the motive for giving the cup of water. Jesus said, because you belong to Christ. Now, certainly we should love all people, shouldn't we? But yet there is this deeper love or this deeper connection that ought to exist between brothers and sisters in Christ. Why is that? Why is that? Because if I belong to Christ, then I have communion with God. I have a relationship with God. And if B-Rad belongs to Christ, then he too has a relationship with God. And when you put us together, there's two people who have something in common, and the big thing in common is God alone. And what greater thing can there be in common for two people to share? And so there is this deeper connection. There is what's called fellowship that exists between me and B-Rad because we both belong to Christ. And so there ought to be this special connection. And Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says this, "What fellowship does light have with darkness?" In other words, really, what union, what communion can you have with someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ? You may root for the same football team. You may have some things in common, but there's no spiritual deep connection if they do not know Jesus Christ, is what the Word of God says. And not only that, but if I belong to Christ, then the Bible says that Christ lives in me. And if Christ lives in me, and if say, Jane belongs to Christ, then Jesus lives in Jane. Therefore, I should not just see Jane, should I? But I should also see Jesus living in Jane, or what's called the Spirit of Christ living in Jane. So that if I know that Jane is thirsty, she needs some squash soup for her thirst. She made some good squash soup the other day. But if she's got a thirst, and I give her a cup of water, I know that if Jesus is in her, then it's like I'm really doing it unto Jesus as well. And that's what Jesus says, wasn't he? When he says that what you do to the least of these, you do to me. When he talks about that in Matthew 25. And so we see each other not just as Jane, but as Jane and Jesus living in Jane. And Jesus living in you and you. And imagine if we could keep that mindset 24/7. Imagine if we could do that. How much would we judge others? How much would we criticize and condemn others? How much would we disrespect others if we truly valued them as someone who had Christ dwelling in them at that moment? How quick would we be to serve someone knowing that Jesus is in that person? And I want to serve Christ, so I'm going to serve that person as well. Instead of just saying, they're nobody special. That's just Billy. No, that's not just Billy. That's Billy with Jesus living in Billy. The Jesus who one day touched Billy, as Dad sang today, where there was a moment in time when the scales fell off his eyes and Jesus Christ became a reality to him. And he understood the gospel of the glory of God. And he embraced Jesus Christ. That Jesus who began a good work in Billy, who is faithful to carry out that work until the day of Christ or until the day that Billy breathes his last breath. Jesus is inside Billy. And so that is the view we ought to have of Billy. Who is Billy? I don't know who Billy is, but he's a brother who has Jesus in him. How about you? Do you look at other Christians as those who have Jesus living in them? Do you treat other Christians as those who truly have Jesus living in them? Or do you disregard that truth that Jesus is in them, and so it's very easy to maybe slander them or to disrespect them or to have hatred toward them because you don't see any connection there with Jesus in them? Well, the second thing we can note about love that is spoken here is that though we may not think it's a great thing to give someone just a cup of water, we may think it's a small thing, it's a good thing. And why is it a good thing? It's a good thing because we get thirsty. Well, think about the days of Christ when Jesus said this to his disciples. They didn't drive around in nice air-conditioned cars. They didn't drive around on I-90 that was nice and paved. No, they had to walk mainly from town to town. The roads were packed dirt, and when it became hot and dry, what would happen? That dirt would fluff up and become dust, and dust would get in their mouths, and it was a common thing for them to be thirsty. Common thing. And so water was a very precious thing. And when they returned home to their houses, they couldn't just walk in and turn on the faucet and out comes this nice cup of clean, cold water. No, water was a precious thing. And today people tell us we need to drink how many glasses of water to be healthy a day? Is it 8 or something like that? I don't know what it is. But anyway, people back then, they weren't really too concerned about drinking lots of water to be healthy. They drank it because they were thirsty and they just needed their thirst quenched. And so to give someone a cup of water was a precious thing. It was a way to refresh someone else. And this is the picture that Jesus paints here of one brother refreshing another brother in Christ. Paul in his letters often speaks of those who refreshed his spirit. If you read his letters to the Corinthians and Romans, he says, these guys refreshed my spirit. You've heard of guys like Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, right? Sure, they're so common we can't even pronounce their names. I don't know if I got it right. Guys that you never hear about. But Paul mentioned them to the Corinthians, and he says, these guys refresh my heart. They refresh my spirit. Paul writes to Philemon and says this, "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." Well, how about us? Do we seek to do that? Do we seek to refresh our brothers and our sisters in Christ? Notice what Paul says here to Philemon. He says that his joy and comfort came from Philemon's love. We see that Philemon had a genuine love for Paul, and because of that, it caused a comfort and a joy to well up inside the Apostle Paul. And in that way, Paul was refreshed. And so in order for us to refresh one another, it's important that we live out love the way the Bible says we ought to love. Our scripture reading today came out of 1 Corinthians 13, and it tells us how we are to love. Love is what? Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy, does not boast. Love is not proud. All those things. That is how we are to love. So if we are being impatient with each other, if we are being unkind toward each other, if we are being proud, what do you think that does? Do you think that refreshes other people, or do you think that drains the life right out of them? We need to be those who refresh others with our love and the love of Christ. There's an interesting verse in Proverbs that speaks about refreshing each other. Proverbs 11:25 says this, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Keep in mind that is a proverb. But maybe in your life you have found that to be the case, where you have sought to refresh someone else or to minister to someone else, and in the process you've been refreshed. You've been ministered to. And often we may be at a place where say, you know, I'm so dry, I can't refresh anybody. Well, you know what? Just try it. Just go ahead and try to refresh someone. And maybe in turn you'll find yourself being refreshed. What's interesting is that word for refresh in the original language literally means one who waters. The one who waters will himself be watered rather than dried up. Let me ask you, are you one who seeks to water? Do you see people as like plants who need a little bit of water to keep them going, to help them grow and thrive in their walk with the Lord? Or are you doing things that may dry out that soil before them? The third thing we want to keep in mind is this, the importance of persevering. And what I mean by that is don't stop giving out those cups of water. Don't stop doing it. As humans, we tend to get tired and we tend to get weary. And we can lose sight of that. We can lose sight of the fact that every day matters. Everything that we do today will matter in eternity. Sometimes we forget that. I know I forget that. That means if I do something today in the name of Christ and through the power of Christ, God's going to remember it, and someday he's going to say, "Eric, what you did was for the glory of Christ, and here is your reward." And that ought to motivate us to keep on keeping on, to keep on refreshing others, to keep on loving others, to keep on serving one another in love. Not only can we get tired and weary, but sometimes our hearts can get cold, and our hearts can wane. The love can wane for other people. Chicago when saying these words that many of you, I'm sure, know very well. As time goes on, I realize just what you mean to me. And as Christians, you know, that ought to be one of our main songs that we sing to each other. As time goes on, I realize, I appreciate just what you mean to me. I appreciate you in my life. I'm thankful that God has placed you in my life and that our love would go deeper and deeper for each other as time goes on. But what happens sometimes? Sometimes just the opposite, doesn't it? We may begin in a relationship with someone, hey, I love Jesus, you love Jesus, this is great, we're going to be perfect together. And then what happens? We begin to get to know each other and we find out, well, they're not as perfect as I thought they'd be. And maybe we see flaws in them. They see flaws in us. Maybe they say things that hurt us. Maybe we say things that hurt them. We disappoint one another and the love can grow cold between two people in the body of Christ. And God would say, no, reverse that. Reverse that. Begin to love in the same manner that I love you. We need to remember what it means to be the body of Christ. Just how much God loves his body. We're called the bride of Christ. Do you realize that? And for you husbands, you know what it's like, hopefully, to love your bride. There's something precious about that. And God loves us in the same manner. His love is faithful. We sing that song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Every day, God pours out his mercy upon his people, upon his children. And his love is lavished on us every single day. Do you realize how much he loves his bride, the body of Christ, his people, how faithful he is to his people? Lamentations 3. 22 and 23 says it so beautifully. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. We're not cut off. He doesn't cast us away. He doesn't toss us to the curb. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And as we, as part of the body of Christ, reflect upon the love and the mercy and the compassion that God has for us who are sinful people, may we in turn love and show compassion and faithfulness to the people of God, to the body of Christ in the same manner. Let me ask you a question today. Can those in the body of Christ say of you and say of me, you know what? I'd be dried up, spiritually dried up, if it weren't for George, who has shown love and compassion and faithfulness and refreshed my spirit and my heart. Who's George? Again, I don't know who George is. Maybe, hopefully, George is us, because we are people who will extend love and compassion to people so that it revives them and restores them and refreshes them in their walk with Jesus Christ. Well, as we reflect on loving others and refreshing others today, it's important to point out as we close that the most important refreshment takes place at the cross of Jesus Christ. There is a spiritual refreshment that can only take place when we as sinners come to the cross of Jesus Christ and understand what Jesus did on our behalf, how he laid down his life for us. And so today I ask you, has sin left your soul dry and parched? You know, you thought this sin, this pleasurable thing was going to satisfy you, but it only left you parched inside. Jesus says to you, come to me and I will quench your thirst. Has sin left you empty and spiritually hungry? Then Jesus says to you, come to me and I will fill you and feed you with the living bread, myself. Has sin left your soul stained and you know you are guilty before God, if he were to judge you, you would be condemned to hell, and you feel hopeless today, then Jesus says, come to me, because I can wash all of your sins away. I can remove the stains from your soul. That's what I came to do. Lay down my life on the cross. Be a substitute. Be a sin bearer so that you could be forgiven and have fellowship with the Father, communion with him, communion with the saints, and you might spend eternity in glory forever and ever. Have you come to Jesus Christ, who loves you enough to lay down his life for you? Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for your awesome plan of salvation, that you would send your own Son, who is perfect and holy and without spot or blemish, who had no deceit in his mouth, but yet he was crucified because of our sin. God, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, thank you for showing us who you are. And Father, I pray that each and every heart here today would truly know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, not just as a religious figure, but as their God and as their best friend. God, thank you for your love. And Lord, I pray your peace upon each and every heart here today. In Jesus' name, amen. And we'll close with a song.